entrepreneurs on the move, reshaping life for a better tomorrow.
What's going on? My name is Stephen Knight, and you're the Stephen Knight Show.
I can't stop loving you, hey, loving you.
Show here on EOTM Radio. As always, I want to thank you for joining us tonight, discussing the latest in entertainment news, sports, fashion, and movie review. Then tonight, we'll hear from Anil Gupta, who is an electrifying catalyst for profound change, devoted his life to helping people rise out of pain and blockage and to open abundance, happiness, and fulfillment. Then in our second half hour, we welcome music and television guru Phil Thornton. As always, let's be part of the discussion, so call them with your questions and comments. The number is 718-664-6543. Again, that's 718-664-6543. You can also join us in the chat. There's a link on our Facebook page, The Stephen Knight Show. But first, Ms. Parker, are you there? Ms. Parker, you know, if we gave a tardy, like it did in middle school, she would say getting one.
I'm here.
I'm the same way, Parker.
All time today.
Oh, you're good.
I'm doing well. A long previous week, but I had some family on this weekend, and we had a great time, so I'm still in recovery mode. But all is well. How have you been, Stranger?
Olga, say like you had a great weekend on that Facebook, and I saw pictures of you and your family out and about the pool, and it was like
we
a great
blast.
Time. So. Yeah, that's good. Where were they visiting from?
They're visiting from Raleigh area.
Okay.
South Carolina.
Okay.
Yeah.
Okay. Yeah. Well, that's good. I'm glad you had a good time. Actually, I had a good weekend. I had a weekend off, and I really was off. I went. Let's see. To the gallery out here in Houston, which is like this huge mall. They have anything from Neiman Marcus to Coach and Vuitton. And then they have more of the, you know, my budget kind of show stuff, Macy's. But just walking through some of those high-end stores.
Isn't that outlet?
And, well, there's an outlet, but no, this is actually a mall. It's a huge mall out in Houston.
Oh, okay.
And really nice store. And I actually had an experience. I had a pedicure, you know, when they're in the, they bathe the feet and scrub them and all that kind of stuff.
Awesome.
It was very interesting.
I'm excited to get one.
You would do that?
That's awesome. I made you decide to get one.
Well, I went with one of my consultants, and you know, he said, let's do that. I said, well, I've never done it before, but okay, cool. And, you know, I've been on my feet a lot. But the funny thing was, there was a guy who was getting his feet beside me, and I mean, those black, blue, green, and those women were talking about them so bad in their language. And I could tell they were talking about it, but they kept looking at his feet and discussing. But it was definitely an experience. Then what else? I did that. Then I went that night I went to this club. It was a huge club, and they have like four or five different rooms, different things. They had karaoke in one room, party and dancing in different rooms. It was fun, a lot of fun. I got to do that, really get to see more of Houston, again, so that was a lot of fun.
Is this your last week?
This is my last week. I'll be back in the A on Friday, so you know, I get to hang out with you and our friends and other people, and I definitely have a good time. So, but it's been amazing, you know, a lot of experiences. You know, I met some really good people.
So we miss you.
Yeah, I miss y'all. I can't wait to do that. And I was seeing you this past weekend for lunch, or the weekend before.
That was awesome.
Wow. enough about you know, I was thinking about you, Ms. Parker, when we were putting together this show, because I know that you're doing a lot of research, and I see your posts on Facebook about happiness and getting past, you know, getting past your past, really, you know.
Right.
And so Anil Gupta, you know, that's what he specializes in. So I'm curious to hear what he's going to give us tonight in terms of, you know, the kind of services he offers and dedicate his life to helping people, you know, break the bondage and want to a happier life. So I figured you'd be interested in that.
Very much so. I'm very, very, very excited to hear what he has to say.
Yeah. All right. Well, Chike, I know Adam's out tonight. What's going on with you, Chike?
What's up, good people? How are you?
Hey, Chike.
Good, so good. How are you?
What's up, Ms. Parker? I'm good.
Hey.
I'm good. Yeah, yeah. Had a good weekend. I only checked out one movie, though. It was all about the World War Z. I don't know if anybody else ever saw that trailer before it came out. I've been looking out for this movie for a whole year, and I'm glad it's finally out. Brad Pitt.
Okay.
And zombies. You can't get better than that. You can't get better than that. Can you guys hear me okay?
Yeah.
Okay. Brad Pitt and zombies. It was pretty much more of a viral movie than a zombie movie.
Somebody in the background typing?
I can't hear you.
So there's some background noise. Is someone back there typing in the background anymore?
No. I think that that's our boss's line.
Oh, okay.
Yeah. But pretty much Brad Pitt and zombies. Like I said, it wasn't so much about zombies as it was viral. An outbreak of rabies gets out, and it's like the craziest strain ever. It's like you can count 12 seconds, and then you're part of the assimilation of crazy people. And ironically enough, the movie generated in Philadelphia, so it was scary to me because it was very plausible. And I work in the medical field, and I've seen some things, so it, you know, it kind of hit for me. So I urge you to check that out if you're into that sort of thing. Definitely a good movie. Brad Pitt never fails. We normally talk about the movies upcoming. This movie's already out, but I definitely want to take Thing 1 and Thing 2 to go with that, and it's Monsters. I don't know if anybody else watches cartoons, but I'm into the tunes. I will be taking Thing 1 and Thing 2 to go see Monsters. Check that out. The last one was pretty funny. So Monsters U, I got a seat in the theater. It's Parker.
Cool. Hello?
Can you hear me?
You're going in and out a little bit.
Oh, I'm sorry. I don't know if it's my connection or what. I'm sorry. But that's all I have for you this week. Oh, and I did do the comeback thing on Friday. Got the chance to meet up with friend to the show, Deanna Williams, and check out IM3 Media's.
I saw that.
Comeback.
I saw that.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Even I think about you in times of stuff like that because I so wish that you could be here.
Like, I know, right?
To get your foot in some of this music culture here. I actually had an opportunity to meet Carol Riddick for the first time and talk to her about coming on the show. So she's definitely coming aboard. I so wish you were there. I mean, we'll have to get you up here in the Philly scene.
Well, I need to definitely come up there, you know, and spend some time so we can do some events together.
Absolutely. You know? Absolutely.
All right. Well, as always, Chike, thank you for your hard work, and we'll talk to you again next week, okay?
All right. Talk to you soon.
Appreciate you, Chike.
See you. Bye.
Hey, Ron. Miami Heat.
They did it. I told you.
I'm about to put y'all on mute.
Sorry, Ms. Parker. I told y'all, though, 7 games. I knew it. 7 games. Great series. The Spurs had it. They had their chance.
They had it.
They messed up. But, oh, Ms. Parker, the Boston Bruins, you know, maybe they can win a championship. You never know.
Okay. So you going to go there, huh?
I mean, hey, something, you know, the hot
My Celtics is being disassembled as we speak.
they are just breaking them apart piece by piece, man. And they're about to get rid of the head of the beast. Doc Rivers is going to be a Clippers.
Take that one. He's on the Clippers. I'll be a Clippers fan.
Yes. Yes.
Oh, wow.
Yes, Doc Rivers, which, you know, this is actually a first for me. I've never really heard of a coach, you know, being, quote unquote, like, I guess, traded. Like, well, what had happened was that supposed to have been Kevin Garnett and Doc Rivers were going to go to the Clippers for, I believe, A. Griffin was part of the mix or something. But anyway, that fell through. But some kind of way, the Clippers were still able to get Doc Rivers. So, looks like he's going to be the next coach for the L.A. Clippers.
I was actually reading something. They said that he was the first coach to ever be involved in kind of a trade like that.
He's actually trade. Yeah. It's an actual trade. Yeah, it's unprecedented. This is the first time.
They have to check to see if it was even legal.
This is going to change the face of head coaching now, not only in the NBA, but the NFL, baseball. I mean, this is new. This is so new, different, amazing, crazy. Yeah.
I don't know about coaches being involved in trades, though. You know.
Yeah.
I mean,
it's crazy.
Definitely, it's a great coach and well deserved, but really.
I know. Just a lot. Yo, Jay-Z is certified as an NBA player agent.
Wow.
Yes.
Jay-Z
he's going to get his money. Jay-Z just has his hands in, like, so many different baskets, man. Like,
now,
dude is.
Now is he a team owner, partial owner. Now he's an agent, Lord.
Now he's an agent. Just getting checks after checks after checks. You know. Money, oh my gosh, that's crazy. Which is cool. Hey, more power to Jay-Z. Good job. Oh, now, did y'all hear about Scottie Pippen?
I did.
He was in a fight, yeah.
Yeah, what a fan.
he was in a fight at a parking lot at a L.A. sushi bar. Well, it was in Malibu. And Scottie got the best of him. Scottie sent the guy to the hospital. Like, Scottie pretty much beat the guy down. Yeah. So.
Oh, wow.
Yeah. I'm like, okay, all right, Scottie Pippen. Like, he's like, please do not let the 6 championship rings and the 40-plus-year-old age fool you. I can still throw
right.
down. So
exactly.
Big ups to Scottie Pippen on that one.
He started it.
right. That's crazy. People will try you. Definitely, people will definitely try you. Let's see what else I'm going to talk about real quick. Wimbledon has anybody been watching that? Like, has it even started yet? I don't think it started yet. Or yes,
I think it started.
Yeah, it actually has because. Rafael Nadal got upset already. Miss Parker,
wow.
He's out. He's out. Gone.
Did he
yep.
win last year?
He's out. He got.
Wow.
He got beat. He got beat. So.
Already, huh?
Already out. Yeah. They, you know, sad.
He was staying on top of his game.
Okay.
It's always
and,
hard faster waiting to get you. So.
Exactly
right.
Trying to get the place.
Right.
Yeah. Exactly. I want to talk about LeBron James for a minute, real quick.
Right.
LeBron James is an amazing talent. Watching this final, I am a believer. I'm in awe. This brother is a true talented player. Man, he can play ball with the best of them. I mean, he could give Magic Johnson, Jordan, all of them a true run for the money. Even if he was playing back then, he's good. He's a really gifted player. He is. So I'm not saying that he's better than Jordan,
But to me, he's definitely on that level. Like, he's definitely in the talks. He's in the room with Jordan and Kobe and Magic and all that, Larry Bird and all them. He's definitely in the room with them. Absolutely. Absolutely.
I'm gonna just let this one pass. That's wrong.
He's
in a room. He's a good enough player. But there are some certain skills that he does not have that would allow him to be mentioned with a Jordan or, you know, a Magic. Like back then, nobody went out to seek a team that had three superstars just to win a championship. Those guys built those other men up to be good enough. So there's a leadership skill that's lacking. I think he's getting better at it, that's for sure. But there's just certain things that, you know, of course he's a good player. He came out of high school, of course. That's not even going to be a debate. But,
Miss Parker, you're absolutely right, because the one thing to me that's actually knocking him from being, you know, with Jordan on the same stage with Jordan or sitting in the same table as Jordan is the fact that he had to leave his team to go to someone else's team in order to win the championship. Jordan never did that. They built the championship teams around Jordan. They built the championship teams around Magic Johnson. You know, those guys didn't leave. They stayed there, and the teams were pretty much, like I said, built around them. LeBron, if he would have just stayed in Cleveland, and if he would have won back-to-back championships in Cleveland, then I would definitely say, absolutely, he's in the same table. He's sitting down with them on the same table. But the fact that he had to leave and have these other players to come in.
It could have been an age, because he was younger than both of those players at the time. It could have been an age thing, but who knows?
Right.
Absolutely. Well, he's definitely holding his own in this generation. We can definitely
Absolutely.
When you go back to those 90s players, Magic, Jordan,
Larry Bird,
Hakeem
Olajuwon and all them, yeah.
Right, yeah.
Yeah, that is true. Oh, one more thing. Lolo Jones. Lolo, please, Lolo, sit down. Track is not your thing anymore. I don't know if y'all watched the U.S.
Run the Olympics. I'm like, child, sit down somewhere.
Right. I'm like, enough is enough. Y'all,
she didn't win anything. She didn't come in. She didn't place at all in the Olympics.
Nothing. Right. I'm like.
Still getting paid and promotion. You should be happy somebody ain't still paying you.
I'm telling you, I'm like, is she just picked just because she's somewhat attractive? Because I'm like, there are plenty of good-looking girls that can run. This girl cannot. She is not good. This is not her sport.
She's not good. But you know,
she's not good.
She got that look that, you know, the mainstream media.
Look.
You know, so it's all about it's all about campaign and who they think sells stuff. But she needs to sit down somewhere.
She sit down, yeah.
I didn't even watch the video. I just read, like, a little clip of it. I was like,
Oh, yeah, I saw it. I mean, she got smoked. She got smoked. And she actually came in, I think, fourth or fifth place. It wasn't even close.
Okay.
I'm like,
did you see it after she got smoked or whatever, one of her sponsors sent her a check? And after taxes, the check was $747,000 or something like that?
What?
And she made a video going off about, that's all I get.
Wow. She needs to go somewhere. Go sit down.
She really does.
She definitely needs to go sit down. But that's pretty much all the sports. Oh, and I want to know if you all are going to talk about Paula Deen at all.
Of course.
I can't. Okay, cool. I'm all ears. And Janera, I would say.
Janera's
not on tonight, so go to BudgetUpAholics.com for her updates. But
Well, Stephen, Ms. Parker, it's all yours. Follow me on Facebook, Twitter, and Instagram. Aaron Cosby, Aroncosby. Have a good week and talk to you next week. Yes, sir.
Stay on and try me on that Paula Deen thing. I
want to
hear your opinion.
Paula Deen. Okay. All right. Yeah. This is my thing. How can I put it? What she did.
I'm kind of okay.
People. I don't know. I'm gonna have to talk about this off the record.
Well, let me go ahead in. This is what I say. All of that recipe Paula Deen cooking for y'all, she learned from the mammies, everybody who was slaves, and her family. Because I can guarantee you, my family owns the slaves. For her to be that comfortable using the N word and being that comfortable being racist. I knew something was wrong with her when she had other like folks' disease, high blood pressure, diabetes.
No, but did you read her disposition when I guess she was interviewed about, you know, for the whatever she's being sued for. She was being interviewed, and she was kind of defending some of the things that she said. Like, they asked her, has she ever used the N-word? And she said, of course. She said,
it's all black. She said, it's not just black men in my kitchen. It's black women, too. Mm.
No, but she said, of course she used the N-word. And she said, one time in particular, she was being robbed at a bank, and the guy put a gun to her head. And so she was telling her husband the story.
I would have called him if a person would have put a gun up to my head robbing me, I would have called him every word in the book.
She didn't call him for his face. She told him when she was telling her husband the story. But then
I would have told my spouse that too, yeah. That damn.
She said she used it again in telling jokes. Or telling a story, like she hears two black people talking and they use the word, and then she's telling the story, she's using it. So she doesn't think it's in a harmful way because she's just doing what they're doing.
And
then she says that her husband
he'll
make kind of racist and, you know, religious jokes. She says those are the most common jokes about blacks, Jews, whites, country people, you know, whatever. And she said that she doesn't get offended because that's her husband. But she doesn't believe.
I'm kind of torn with that because in a way, okay, first of all, I will give Ms. Deen a little bit of credit, just the fact that she's actually being honest about saying she could have lasted that on, she never did. But there are plenty of people, you know, that will say, oh, I've never used that word before, lying through their teeth, lying, knowing that they're using it, you know, so at least give her a little, you know, give her somewhat credit for that.
The reason why, it's not because she used the racial slur. It's because
we all used it.
Hear me out. I'm not condemning her because she used the word, you know what I mean? But it's because justifying why she used the word. You know what I mean? Right. And so now that she's losing sponsors and she's been kicked off the Food Network, now she's apologizing for it. But I don't think she thinks she did anything wrong. I think now it's the thing where I slapped on the wrist. Now I want to apologize.
Right. No, I feel like I think she's a racist person. And, I mean, there are a lot of racist people. But the fact that she, you know, whatever you put out there is going to eventually come back to you. So your racism and all of that stuff, it's coming back to bite her in the butt. She says that she uses her plant. She has a thing that she does, it's called a plantation wedding, where black people dress up as slaves and they have rings.
Right. Yeah. Right. Yeah.
That was crazy.
Yeah. That was crazy.
So that's my thing, because she said she's trying to learn from this experience and she wants people to forgive her. And yeah, she should be forgiven. But it's not going to come easy because she's still justifying her action. I did this because, you know what I mean?
Right.
They're saying I was wrong.
And she thought the whole wedding, plantation wedding thing is a great way of educating people on back then how people lived.
She done bumped her head.
Black women dressed up too. What?
Too much butter. I'm telling y'all, she's been cooking with too much butter for all these years, and it's finally popped up in her brain.
All those recipes have been passed down by our ancestors.
From Big Mamas, from Black Mammies and Big Mamas, and right.
And, you know, right. It's really interesting where this is said that her family owned slaves. So, you know, that's
I'm
all
sure. Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. And,
all her
and,
cousins, she has stole anyway. So, y'all go spend your money out there if y'all want to. Or call your grandmother for you.
I've actually been to her restaurant, Lady Infant down in Savannah.
You ain't going to see me now.
Well,
I want to go.
I'm not going anymore. Right, but I've been there twice. And I'm telling y'all, her chefs and cooks are Black. I've seen them. So all that good chicken, everything, Black people cooking that. They're cooking it. So y'all heard it here first. If y'all didn't know, America or the world.
Yeah. And I bet you her son's show is going to get kicked off the air, too, because she got two sons. They both have shows.
I actually heard that their shows are not in jeopardy. Like, their shows are actually still going to be on as of now. So that could change. But as of right now, it was reported that their shows are not going to be taken off of the Food Network. So as of right now.
And the thing is, she had a good story, you know, showed how you can be homeless and I think not really homeless, but I think she was
divorced or like her husband left her.
She was scared to come outside. She
was a single mother struggling. Yeah, she was like single mother. Yeah,
and became a millionaire. But you know, like Ms. Parker said, what's done in the dark will come to the light.
It comes to light.
But we'll continue to follow that story.
Can I just say this? One last thing with regards to her. It'll be really quick. I just believe that people should actually actions speak louder than words. So her saying sorry to me isn't going to do enough. She needs to actually put her resources and her efforts into showing that she's, you know, not a racist or, you know, is trying to change her act, you know, by investing in black or minority-owned businesses, things of that nature. You know, just showing, you know, don't just say it, show it. So,
right. Not great.
I know she didn't show up at today interview because she knew Matt was going to give it to her.
Matt was going to clean her clock. Yeah.
Anyway, he probably was just waiting.
In his dressing room, we ready.
Right. She didn't show up. They were so mad that they blasted her all on social media. Today's show was popping up. Paula Deen's show.
Yeah. They would have ate her up. Yeah, they would have ate her up big time.
Right.
Y'all have a good night.
All right, everyone. Have a good one. Talk to you next week.
All right, y'all.
All right. Ms. Parker, before we go to commercial break, your girl, Kimmy K, had her baby. Go ahead.
I don't care what people name their kids. Because, you know, all I really care, Steven, is if you're a regular person and your kid's going to have to work.
Right.
You know, baby, you ain't going to know how to work. Baby, her life. She could be named Southwest for all I care. Your kid, Mercedes, Southwest, Northeast, Northwest. If you're a regular person, your kid got to go find a job at some point in their life. Other than that, name them whatever you want.
Name what you want.
Congratulations to them.
Congratulations.
She's not going to need to work. She'll be all right.
All right, that may be good. let's take a quick commercial break and come back with Mr. Anil Gupta. After this.
Celebrate Entrepreneurs' Biggest Night live from West Hollywood, California. The 2013 EOTM Awards, Sunday, August 4th at the beautiful Pacific Design Center. Red carpet and celebrity-studded award show highlighting all things entrepreneurship. Nominees and presenters scheduled to attend: Bruce Valanche, Vara Abraham, Tammy Roman, Jake Short, Carlin Jeffrey, Adam Barter, Matt Martin, Eric Zuli, Latoya Luckett, Jasmine Brand, Christian Keys, Mary Marrow, Vincent Ward, Josh Feldman, Cece Perkinson, Cynthia Manley, Fawn, Chili Moe, Mimi Foss, Don Lee Heising, Jared Masters, Macy Bookout, Barbara Niven, and many more to be confirmed. Performances by Billy Lord, Adam Barter, Chioki DiMachi, Leon, Ron Anthony with Don Cannon, and more. Win tickets by tweeting hashtag EOTM Awards, hashtag Think Entrepreneurship. Visit www.eotmawards.com, www.eotmawards.com for more info.
Welcome back to the Stephen Knight Show. Ms. Parker, you know the EOTM Awards are coming up in August, and I'm very excited that we have an opportunity here on the Stephen Knight Show to give away two tickets to the main event to two of our listeners. So this is what you need to do. You need to go right away, and the first two people that tweet us, Stephen Knight Show, give me them tickets. And it's Stephen Knight Show, StevenKnightsho, on Twitter. Tweet us, give me those tickets. You will get two tickets to the award show in August in L.A. So get that done, and we'll look out for it. We'll be announcing the winners very soon.
That's awesome.
Now, I'm very excited about that. Well, let's switch gears. You know, we talked about Anil Gupta being on. He is an electrifying catalyst for profound change, who has devoted his life to helping people rise out of pain and blockage into overflowing abundance, happiness, fulfillment. He has a gift for identifying blocks and patterns that are keeping a person stuck and uses advanced intuitive gifts to reconnect people with their spirit, truth, and life purpose. Anil literally wakes up people's souls to live a richer and fuller life and ultimately to realize their greatness. Please help me welcome to the show, Anil Gupta. Welcome.
Thank you for a great introduction. Thank you, Stephen.
Thank you. Thank you. You know, I was just talking to Ms. Parker earlier. You know, she's been doing a lot of research and studying on this same type of idea and you know, getting to happiness. I know you just released a book, Be Happy Now, Using Practical Steps with Immediate Proven Results. Tell us about that book and why it was important for you to get that out.
Well, you know, the reason I wrote this book and the work that I do, 4 years ago, I was at the end of my life. I wanted to commit suicide. I'd lost everything that I worked for the last 35, 40 years.
Wow.
And it was an immensely painful time for me. And I had two choices, whether to do it or not to do it. And two people intervened, my wife and a very good friend of mine. And I said to my wife, look, honey, I've lost everything. She said to me, no, you haven't. I said, what are you talking about? She said, you still have me. You still have the kids. And wherever you go, we'll go.
Wow.
And I realized then that happiness is a choice.
Mm-hmm.
And whatever you choose at that moment is what you get. So if I chose that I had nothing left, I had nothing left.
Mm-hmm.
If I focused on, and this is a great thing for your listeners, what you focus on is what you get. If you focus on what you have instead of what you don't have, your life will change immediately. Your circumstances may not change, but the way you look at it will change immediately. And
wow.
That's what people want. You know, when you're in the depths of despair, you need something there and then and now. You don't want anyone preaching at you or telling you that's the way it should be. You want to feel
right.
It now.
Right. I totally agree. And that's an amazing story. What do you think, in your opinion, prevents people from being able to think that way, to make the choice to be happy?
Well, the thing is, and this is a fundamental problem in our society. We're never taught how to be happy. We're never taught how to be successful. We're never taught how to reach fulfillment. And it's scandalous that we're never told, look, if you want to reach fulfillment, do these three things. It's shameful, to be honest, that we're never guided in this manner. And, and they're simple steps. It's not rocket science. It's very, very simple.
Right, right. So what are some basic things that you can tell our listeners tonight if you have someone out there now who has just been in a stoop for a long time and is trying to get that happiness in their life? They don't even know where to turn. What advice would you give?
Okay, let me give you several tips. I've already given you some. The first one is what you focus on is what you get. So if you focus on your life is not working, that your relationship isn't working, that's what you're going to get.
Right.
If you change that around and focus on what part of your relationship is working, what part of your life is working, change your focus, you change your life. What you focus on is what you get. It's incredibly powerful.
Yeah.
That's one step. Second step, focus on what you can be grateful for. And it doesn't have to be a big thing. You know, we live in a world, we live in a country where we have freedom. So that's a big thing. We're not being bombarded by missiles. We're not in the midst of torrential disease or an epidemic or anything like that. So that's something to be grateful for. Be grateful for your nails. Imagine you didn't have nails. How painful would that be? Imagine you had no fingers. All these things, your hair, your eyes, your teeth, your nose, your ears, the air that we breathe. Be grateful. The quality of your life is dependent on the quality of the gratitude that you have in that life.
Wow. I totally agree. You know, I've been in out here in Houston. I live in Atlanta, but I've been in Houston working on this project at one of the hospitals out here. And, you know, you go through the ICUs and the ERs, and you see people, you know, hooked up to these machines, you know, in vegetative states. And it really does make you feel, you know, blessed and happy to not be in that circumstance. So I think, like you said, be thankful for what you do have. You know what I mean? You may not have all the money in the world. You may not have certain things, but being happy for what you do have, because it could always be worse, and that's what I believe.
Yeah, and when you focus on the gratitude also you don't have.
Yeah.
You know, I was at Sam's the other day, and the attendant was in a wheelchair. He had no legs.
Mm-hmm.
And you know, people don't talk to people like that. But I do. I said, you know, hey, guy, what's up? And he was smiling. I said, hey, why are you so cheerful? He said, oh, I've got to tell you a funny story. And then, you know, he was telling me about a man who wanted to sit next to him, and he said, oh, can I sit down? And he said to the man, I wouldn't sit down. I sat down 3 years ago, and I couldn't get up. And he made a joke of it.
Right.
So he was focusing on what he had. He had his sense of humor. Why not use it? It really doesn't matter. Wherever you are in life, just change your focus. Be grateful. In that instance, in that instant you've become grateful, you're filled with joy.
Wow. You know, I was having a conversation with a friend of mine just last week. I'm on your website. I know GuptaInspires.com. Mm-hmm. And you have an entry about gratitude for your parents. Let me ask you a question. If you have a strained relationship with your parents, how can you feel that gratitude towards them, and why is that important?
Okay. This, again, what you focus on is what you get, okay?
Mm-hmm.
How did you become Stephen?
Right.
Tell me, how did you become Stephen?
I think through my experiences, the way I was raised, and
yeah,
the choices
who brought you here?
Oh, my parents.
Yeah, they gave you the ultimate gift, no matter what they've done to you. It doesn't matter what they've done to you, what you feel that they've done to you. You can still feel gratitude. If they've hurt you physically or mentally or whatever, you can still hold on to that if you want to. But no matter what, they gave you life.
Mm.
That's the greatest
gift
they can give you.
Yeah.
And another thing we all have to learn is that we are causing the matter. Whatever happens to us, we caused it.
Yeah.
We're in charge. It's our life. We choose how we run it. It's no use blaming someone, oh, he did that to me, or my parents did this, or I wasn't loved, or that's fine, but you have to move on.
You asked a question on another entry from last year, and it says, it's called One Phone Call, and you asked the question, if you had 1 hour to live, who would you call? What would be your answer to that?
I would call my father.
Hmm.
Friends.
And then why is that?
Because my father is the most important person in my life. You know, I for many, many years, I used to make him wrong. I used to think, oh, there's something wrong with him. He's too gentle. People take advantage of him.
Uh-huh.
I said, Dad, look, you know, what's going on with that? And he said, son, you may think they're taking advantage of me, but it gives me immense pleasure.
Wow.
I didn't know that. So once you realize that it gives him immense pleasure, whether people take advantage of him, it's immaterial, but it gives him immense pleasure.
Wow.
And we learn a lesson because we don't communicate with our parents. We don't communicate with our children. Once you communicate at a deeper level and you become part of the other person, you sit in their place and you think, I understand that. I know how you feel. Then our relationships wouldn't be strained. You know, the father-son relationship, the mother-daughter relationship in my seminars is one that comes up because the child always complains about the parent. And I said, look, when your parent was around, it was a different world. They didn't have what you have. They were in constant fear of not being able to live, not being able to eat. They didn't have your education. They gave up everything so that you could have an education. And the way they showed love is not by hugging you, because that didn't happen in those days. Your father would always do things for you. That's how they showed love.
Right.
Once they realized that, they said, oh, yeah, my dad's always doing stuff for me. I said, yes, that's how he knows to show love. He doesn't know how to hug.
Wow. So you're saying that the actions, and people say this, actions speak louder, so the actions, not the act of hugging you, but the act of him working hard to get you certain things or to provide for you, that was his way of showing love.
Yeah, that's his way, because he knew no other way.
Right. Yeah. I get that. Well, let's go back to your book, Immediate Happiness, Be Happy Now, Using Practical Steps with Intimate Proven Results. And you can get that on Kindle edition or the paperback. Now, first of all, I want to congratulate you for making the top of the Amazon bestseller. Congratulations on that.
I'm so excited. It really does change people's lives.
Yeah. And, you know, and what I believe from that's an example of when you're putting out good into the world, it comes back on you. So I'm glad that that's getting out there so everyone can hear. And hopefully being on tonight will also, you know, increase that that audience. I know in the book you cover numerous challenges that people face every day from creating healthy relationships, creating abundance, creating wealth, motivation, inspirational insights, and moving past fears. And the list goes on. How important, I think this is kind of, people call it a dumb question, but I think it's important because we don't always see it, about creating healthy relationships. Because when you have a bunch of people around you who aren't necessarily bringing value or substance to your life, why is it so important to have those healthy relationships? And define what your opinion of a healthy relationship is.
A healthy relationship to me is where you get some contribution from the other partner or friend.
Right. Uh-huh.
So this is a great, great question. I do this exercise in my seminars. I ask people to write down the people they spend time with. Next to that, I ask them to write down how many hours a week they spend time with. Then I ask them to grade their friends. Give someone a grade A if they move, touch, stimulate, motivate, encourage them. Give them a grade B if they, you know, they're okay. Sometimes they do, sometimes they don't, but they're okay. You know, they're not too bad. And a grade C for people who suck the energy out of them, who take their time and energy and give nothing back. So I ask you, look, if you have any C's, cut them out of your life.
Yeah.
Just cut them out of your life, unless you can bring them up to a B quickly or up to an A quickly. But the reason you spend time with C's is because you feel good, because you feel as though you're helping someone, but they're sucking the life out of you. You are who you spend time with. So that one exercise will make a big difference to you.
Wow.
And the quality of our life, it's got nothing to do with how much money you have. I coach the richest people on the planet. And you know the biggest problem they have? They need someone to play with. Because they have all the time in the world, but they don't have anyone to play with.
Wow. And you hear so rich, much. God, I'm sorry.
Well, yeah, being rich doesn't mean you're happy. It means that you have less people to play with. And you don't know who your friends are because... are they after your money or are they after something else? You don't know.
Yeah.
But I know, you know, this is how I define richness or wealth. It's your possessionless self. Whatever you have, when you take away all your possessions, that's how I define wealth.
What do you have left? Right. I get that.
So your relationships, your friends, your self-esteem, your self-worth, the difference that you make, your strength, your physique, your body. That's what you have left, and that's who you are. That's your wealth. No one can take that away from you.
Well, I ask each day on Facebook, we ask the question of the day. And in correlation with tonight's show, I asked, what is the key to being happy? What to you is the key to being happy?
The key to being happy is to be at one with yourself, you know. But let me tell you the three pathways to fulfillment. This will help your listeners a lot. So if they're ready, I'll tell you the first pathway. If you do this, absolutely guarantee you'll be a step or 10 steps away from happiness into fulfillment. Fulfillment is the highest level that you can possibly get. That's when you're filled with joy.
Yeah.
Okay, if you do these three things, step one, you have to grow.
Yeah.
Physically, mentally, and spiritually. As children, we did that stuff. You know, we were taught, we were guided, nurtured, looked after. You know, it was massive growth. As we stopped going to school and college, and we got into our routine of work, we stopped growing. We stopped going to the gym. We stopped reading books. We stopped our emotional content, our spiritual content. We became comfortable. We became complacent. So you have to grow. Absolute must. Whatever you do, you have
great.
To grow.
I agree.
Second, give. Give your time, your energy, your love, your commitment, your passion, your gift. Give yourself and give money if you have money. But you have to give without wanting anything. Just give without wanting anything in back, in return.
Yeah.
Just give, 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 give.
Give because you can.
Yeah. And it doesn't have to be money. It can be 10 minutes or 20 minutes or talking to someone who's lonely. That's forgiving. Mm. Paying for someone's coffee, that's giving.
Yeah.
Helping, that's giving. Smiling
wow.
at someone, that's giving. Acknowledging them, saying, thank you, that was very kind of you to serve me. Or you have beautiful hair, or you have beautiful eyes. That's giving.
Brighten someone's day, giving.
Yeah.
Yeah, yeah.
And the third thing, if you do this third thing, is be grateful for what you have and not focus. Do those three things. I promise you, Stephen, you will be filled with joy.
I agree. So I know you're doing a lot. Where can people catch up with you? I know that you do motivational speaking and you obviously have your book out. Where can people get in touch with you?
My the best way is to email me. My email is Anil, @ Anil, Gupta, Gupta, inspires.com. And I have a very special offer for all of your listeners. I have a DVD set, and if you email me with the name Stephen, I will give you it at half price.
Wow.
I promise you profound change. And if for any reason it doesn't give you profound change, send it back to me. I'll give you a full refund. I have two events coming up. One's in Orlando on July the 13th, and the other one's in New York City on July the 27th.
Well, listen, I want to thank you so much for taking the time and just inspiring and motivating us all. I think that it's always important to have this kind of dialogue, you know, because so many people are going through so much and they don't know where to turn. So thank you for your time, and you have a great night, okay?
All right. Thank you, Stephen. I enjoy that very much.
I did. Thank you.
All right. Take care.
We'll be right back after this with Phil Thornton.
You're listening to The Steve and Knight Talk Show on EOTM Radio.
You're listening now. You're listening to
The Steve and Knight Talk Show on EOTM Radio.
The Steve and Knight Show, Monday nights at 10 p.m. Eastern Standard Time, only on EOTMRadio.com.
After graduating from Norfolk State University in 2003, Phil Thornton moved to New York and started Bright Star Entertainment, a management consultant firm which represented an array of talent, including R&B group 112, Little Mo, and other chart-topping recording artists and producers. Currently, Thornton represents all of the 10-2-1 music clients, from Faith Evans, Michelle Williams, Kenny Lattimore, Jessica Reedy, and Tristan Wilde. He went on to produce hit shows such as I Married a Baller, Famous People, Lisa Ray, The Real McCoy, and the hit show R&B Divas. Please help me welcome to the show Phil Thornton. Welcome. Phil, are you there?
Yeah, I'm here.
Welcome to the show. How are you doing?
Thank you for having me. Thank you so much.
Thank you. I've heard so many good things about you, so it's good to.
Good. I appreciate that, man. It's always good coming to after good things being said. No, it's been a pleasure. I know we've been trying to make this work for some time.
Right.
Thank you again for having me. Thank you so much.
No, thank you. I know you're a busy man, so it's definitely our pleasure. Now, where are we going? You know, when did you decide that this was the – first of all, you went to Norfolk State University, which I didn't go there. I went to Virginia State, but it's all VA. So,
okay,
you know, that's
absolutely. Yeah, I'm from Virginia originally, so.
Oh, are you? Okay.
Yeah.
Okay. I am too. I'm from Richmond.
Okay. So, yeah, I'm from Norfolk originally, and then I went to high school in Virginia Beach, but that's my stomping ground, 757.
Tidewater.
Yeah. Yep. Tidewater. Hampton Roads.
So when did you get this love and decide this is the industry you wanted to work in?
When I was at the age of about, I mean, I really knew it when I turned really 11 or 12, but I knew really young. When I say really, I knew really, really at a young age that I would do something in entertainment. I always had a fascination with, you know, television, music, radio. I just didn't know where I would go, but at 12, I would say it really hit me, and that's when I had my first internship at 12 with a radio station, WOWI, which is at the time was a independently owned radio station. It was the number one station in the market, but it was the number one station. It was an urban station that later was acquired by Clear Channel. But, yeah, that was – so I would say that was that defining moment when I realized, you know what, I want to do something in this space, and I was, 12.
Okay, and so what was the first step you took? I know you have Bright Star Entertainment. What was the first steps you took towards making that dream a reality?
Wow. I definitely would say the internship there, you know, I called the midday personality at the time. Her name was Candy Eastman. She's a jock out in Houston now, and just, again, persuaded my way in to get a station tour, which evolved eventually into a internship. And at 15, my follow-up, my second internship was with Arista, which was at its peak at that time with the Bad Boy label and the LaFave.
Yeah.
And, you know, I did that for some years, and I met a lot of the artists that, some which I still communicate with to this day, a la, you know, Faith Evans, who I did R&B Divas with and managed some time ago. So, but that was my second internship. And then in college, I just kind of kept the grind and kept moving, and I started managing artists and producers and, you know, just – that's how I segued, you know, after graduation into creating Bright Star and managed, you know, Little Mo and worked a lot with 112 and various producers at that time. So I would say, yeah, those are the steps. That was kind of the condensed down, you know, radio edit.
Right.
That's that point. So.
Well, we all know it's a cutthroat industry. How have you been able to have the success you've had and keep continuing down that path?
You know what, man, just operating from an integral standpoint, I always like to treat people the way I want to be treated, do good business. People think that you have to be cutthroat to be in this business. I have found that I can do, you know, great business, you know, really honest business and still make my money and do what I need to do and accomplish my goals and get credited properly. So, you know, some people feel like you have to kind of just take something. It's enough money and enough pie, I like to tell people, for us all. So, yeah, I don't, you know, that's just always been my mindset. And just I believe that what goes around comes around, and what you put out is what you get back. So I always like to put out really good energy and really do right by people in the deals when I'm partnering with people. And sometimes things work out and sometimes things don't. But I still like to – I'm big on relationships, man. That's a really, really big thing with me. So because you never know who lands where. Who would have thought that an intern, you know, at 12 years old, being myself, would be at this seat, like, for those people. So I remember all those people that were nice to me, who helped me along the way, who gave me great advice and insight. So, but, yeah, I would say the relationships have kind of helped me in business and just, you know, having integrity and just doing right by people.
So how did you make the transition into to television?
Man, how did I do that? I would say 2005, a buddy of mine, Datari Turner, who is still a good friend of mine, he did a show for BET called The Ultimate Hustler. It was a show with Damon Dash, and it was kind of like an apprentice-style show that Datari had created, executive produced, so forth, with BET. And I was just so intrigued by him doing television, because Datari had a modeling background. Datari did a lot of great modeling. He's a Ford model who's done a lot of modeling, but this was his first foray into television. So I was fascinated, like, wow, like, yo, DT is really doing a damn thing. Like, he's got a TV show. Like, yo, so he and I just had been friends for years at that point. I said, yo, why don't we try to sell some shows together? Me always just trying to just do something new and different and just, you know, trying to think outside the box. But I've always been fascinated with television and film. So he, you know, he was like, yo, let's do it. Like, what you got? So we had an idea for this show. He had an idea for the show called I Married a Baller. And I said, well, you know what? Why don't we try to get Tamia and her husband, Grant Hill? Like, you know, she's an athlete wife. And this is before the whole athlete wife craze, before basketball wives and football wives. And, you know, long story short, we had a couple meetings with Tamia and Grant, and all was well. And then some things kind of didn't work out in the end. So we ended up going with another couple, being Taj and Eddie George, which was a great couple to go with. And so that was we sold that show to TV1 back in 2006. And so that was my first kind of steps into the TV world. But I would definitely say Datari, man. Datari showed me the ropes and kind of schooled me into how to, you know, the TV world, how it's similar but yet different to the music side. And just, again, it was definitely learning on the job because, again, I had never produced up until that point. So literally we sold a show to a network. And I know they're probably like, nah, I can say it now because it's so many years past and I've produced other shows. But we didn't know. At least I didn't know what the hell I was doing. And I was, you know, producing. I was a music supervisor. And just, you know, it was a lot at that time. But we made it through. It did well for the network. It was their first reality show at the time. So it was, again, we made history in that. And just Taj went on to do Survivor. And as you know, she's now part of the SWV show, which is premiering in the fall on another network. So, again, it's just, you know, but, yeah, it's all good.
So you did, so you managed artists, you did television, and then you decided you want to get into music publishing. You put your hands
on
everything.
I mean, it seems like when I look at my resume, I'm like, I'm a bit of a schizophrenic. So, I'm creative, love to write, love to just be creative. And, you know, I was working with various producers. And just, again, music, like I said, has always been in my veins. It's been in my blood. I know what a hit record sounds like. I just take it as a gift. And I don't know. So I'm creative. Like I said, I mean, what I do, you know, my day job at E1 Music as a VP of marketing, it requires a lot of, you know, creativity and writing and just ideas and, you know, thinking outside the box. And that's just, you know, so it goes into the same breath of just songwriting. It's just being creative. All of this is being creative. Like R&B Divas, it's just creativity and helping these women deliver their storylines to the world. You know what I mean? So it's like, but being creative in the process. So all of these things are, you know, that's the common denominator, is the creativity. So, but, yeah, Billionaire Worldwide Music, the publishing
company. Wow. And let me just say that you work with Eminem, Bruno Mars, Chris Brown, Kelly Rowland, Jaheim.
Yeah, it's been a blessing. It's truly a blessing.
Yeah, you have a very strong resume there, sir.
I've tried, and I like getting those publishing checks, too, so I want to keep it coming. Shout out to my publisher, Sony ATV, and my performance rights, BMI, man. I love getting those checks, man. I'll tell you that.
Yes.
But truly a blessing. I'm eternally grateful, and I don't know who the gentleman was who just was on before me. I got to research him, but he just, some of the things he touched on, man, powerful,
yeah.
Man. Just, again, your faith, we could talk about, but that was, yeah, very insightful, just gave me a lot of great, you know, nuggets, you know, while I'm like, man. So my faith, man, I'm grateful for it all. I don't take any of it for granted. I'm living the dream. I feel like it's one day I'm just going to wake up and like, okay, this is, all right, well, it was a good dream, but it's because I love what I do. I really do.
I love
what I do.
Yeah. And that makes it so much worth it when you're able to get up to go to work every day and say, I can't wait to get to the office, or, you know, or take this conference call, as opposed to, Lord, I got to work today. You know what I mean? So, you know, it's great to have you on, that someone who loves what they do, and I think your accomplishments thus far are they show that, you know. Let me ask you, what's coming up next for you? What are you working on?
What am I working on? I'm working, we just wrapped R&B Divas Los Angeles, so I'm excited about that. That premieres July 10th.
I saw the trailer for that. Wow, that's all I can say.
Yeah, wow is all I can say. Imagine us shooting. I had the pleasure of dealing with the wonderful 13 ladies of R&B Divas between Atlanta Cast and LA,
right.
And it was basically kind of on top of each other, the shooting, like kind of simultaneous. So, you know, again, it was a pleasure. But LA, it will not disappoint. It's a great show, great cast, and it's great television. So I'm excited. So that's definitely coming soon. And then I have an artist that I manage that's coming out via Sony tomorrow. We're launching the single at radio. His name is Mac.
Oh, wow.
Mac, and the first single is called Own It. It was produced by Salam Remy and co-written by Mac and Neo. So you will hear that starting on. Funkmaster Flex in New York has been burning it down like crazy. I've heard it several times while I was in New York the last few days, and he's been playing it literally several times a show. So thank you, Funkmaster Flex. But this kid is incredible. He's going to be the next big thing in music. So that's definitely what's in my future. R&B Divas LA, Mac, Own It, and a few other joints coming from Mac very, very, very soon, as soon as tomorrow.
Bill Thornton, thank you so much, man, for taking the time. It's finally great to be able to connect with you. Wish you nothing but continued success in the future.
Thank you, man. God bless you. I wish you continued success as well. Thank you so much for having me.
All right. God bless.
All right. Talk soon. Bye.
All right. We'll be right back with Steven's Playlist.
Tired of being tired? Then start a home business. No cold calling, no talking to friends or family for only $25. You can make full-time income with part-time efforts. Empower yourself. Over 49,000 members in less than 8 months and growing. Visit us today. Go to www.empowertruewealth.com. Again, that's www.empowertruewealth.com.
Welcome back to the Stephen Knight Show. Now it's time to go on to Stephen's Playlist. We receive music from people all over the country, one to be featured during this segment. Each week we select artists to play on our playlist. Tonight our playlist features songs by both independent and major artists, including Chris Brown, Kelly Rowland, Miguel, and many more. Now, if you're interested in being featured on Stephen's Playlist, please email us at thestephenknightshow@gmail.com. Attach one or two songs, your bio, and one or two promotional pictures. Remember, all songs must be edited for radio, meaning no cursing. We definitely look forward to hearing from you. Now, the first song is by John Legend featuring Ludacris, entitled Tonight. Check it out and enjoy Stephen's Playlist.
What you came for? next to me. Knowing me and you got that mental telepathy, meet me up at the spot, I'll be sending over the chauffeur. Rich nigga, bread they popping up like a toaster. Nobody come close to me and you together. Step under my umbrella, we'll make it through any weather. Except when I make it storm, sex in the greatest form, then hibernate under my body. And yep, I keep you warm and in a chinchilla. You know I beat it up like the Thriller in Manila. Flying my private jet to villas in Anguilla. Then throw you on the grill, that's cause 7 days a week you're my five-course
baby,
meal for real.
Why you wanna go there?
I gotta go there. You're hearing rumors about me, and you can't stomach the thought of someone touching my body when you're so close to my heart. I won't deny what you're saying, because most of it is true, but it was all before I fell for you. So please, babe, please don't judge me. And I won't judge you, cause it can get ugly before it gets beautiful. Please don't judge me, and I won't judge you. And if you love me, then let it be beautiful. 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 Everything I say right now, it's gonna be used in another fight. And I've been through this so many times. Can we change the subject? You're gonna start asking me questions like, was she attractive? Was she an actress? Maybe the fact is, you're hearing rumors about me and saw some pictures online saying they got you so worried, making you wish you were blind. Before we start talking crazy, saying some things we'll regret, can we just slow it down and stress? You said it's beautiful,
so bad.
So please don't judge me, and I won't judge you, cause it can get ugly before it gets beautiful. Please don't judge me, and I won't judge you. And if you love me, then let it be beautiful. Just let the past just be the past, and focus on things that are gonna make us laugh. Take me as I am, not who I was. I promise I'll be the one that you can trust. So please.
One.
Somebody's on your side of the bear track. And I didn't wanna have to take it there, but you play
too much.
So I guess it's in the game.
E-A.
And what am I supposed to say? I know you did me dirty, but we can make it work. I know you didn't mean to hurt me. I know we got our problems and need to go where you're worried. Let's just sit and talk about it over McGee's McFlurry. One thing for hot damn certain, this plays a rap. You can go on closing curtains, and this is a mess. Starting with yourself first, I am dropping bad habits, starting with the very worst. Now it's on to the next one. African American, Puerto Rican, Swedish, French lover, or a German. I'm really determined. All kinds of moves. Ever since we've been done, I've had so much to do.
kitchen floor. He took the key. I was mad at everybody. I mean everybody. Yeah, everybody. 5 years later, I got my shit down pat. Think I had it good, and they don't know how bad. Fooled everybody except myself. Soaking in the curb, bathing in the dirt. Dirty laundry, the dirty laundry. Let's do this dirty laundry, the dirty laundry. When you soaked in tears, but you can never air out. Thought it could get no worse as we maximize the drama. Started to call them people on him. I was battered. He hit in the window like it was me until it shattered. He pulled me out, he said, don't nobody love you but me. Not your mama, not your daddy, and especially not me. He turned me against my sister. I missed you. Let's do this dirty laundry, this dirty laundry.
nigga, then we die. In it, knowing if I nigga, I might die. In it, then reincarnate as I fly. Gymnast, just to flick my tongue on you. This is your Olympics.
That was Steven's playlist. I hope you enjoyed it. I want to thank my guests tonight. Shout out to Mr. Anil Gupta. You know, it's all about, you know, happiness is a choice. So choose to be happy. Pick up his book, Immediate Happiness, Be Happy Now, Using Practical Steps with Ultimate Proven Results. Go on Amazon. There's a link on our Facebook page. Go on Amazon to purchase the book. It will change your life. And I just encourage you all to check it out. It made the Amazon bestsellers list, so that speaks for itself. Also to Phil Thornton, we've been trying to get him on for a while. We've had some setbacks, but he was on tonight. Thank you so much for sharing all that you're doing, all that you've done, and inspire other moguls out there who are trying to get on the same path. And to you at home, I want to thank you again for checking us out, listening to us, and continue to spread the word. The Stephen Knight Show, coming back next week, another brand new show. And have a great week. God bless. I can't find love.